Hi there, I'm Lori Hellman, mom to Skylar, my incredible adult son with severe nonverbal autism. My goal when creating the Living the Sky Life podcast 5 years ago was that the content of each episode brings hope, connection, and some valuable takeaways to each listener. In sharing the many relatable caregiver stories and experiences, I sincerely hope that you never feel like you have to travel your parenting journey alone. If you haven't already, please connect with me through my Facebook page, Welcome to My Life, Skylar's World, or Instagram, Welcome to My Life _ Lori Hellman, and let's keep the conversation going after each episode airs. If you are enjoying the podcast and are listening on Apple iTunes or Audible, please leave a rating and a written review and share Living the Sky Life with others. Thanks again for tuning in and subscribing to Season 5 of Living the Sky Life. Thanks for tuning in for another episode of Living the Sky Life. Today, I am going solo. I want to talk a little bit about the statement that you probably hear all the time about never giving up hope. I have really embraced this statement a lot in the last few months, specifically because of all of the GI troubles that Skylar has had the majority of his life, and we have seen such a dramatic turnaround in 2.5 months that I just am overjoyed. So I want to share a little bit about basically I'm referring back to an old Sesame Street episode that we've seen countless times. There's a song in there about the power of yet, and Josh and I laugh about it all the time, and we'll just kind of say something about Skylar, you know, he's not doing this or that, and one of us will snap back at the other one and say, "Not yet. That's the power of yet." And although it was funny, I sometimes lost hope. I lost hope that he would communicate. I lost hope that he would have his smile and his giggle return and his great disposition. He was always such a happy guy, despite feeling like crap every single day of his life because his stomach hurt so much. And also just his overall demeanor. I couldn't really blame it on puberty. I wasn't really sure whether to just blame it on aging, but I was always told that generally when our kids age into adulthood, that they kind of lose some of those, you know, unwanted behaviors that they have, or stims that are kind of on the aggressive side, like slapping and just doing a lot of things that are, you know, not really bringing much joy around our house. And I kind of had given up hope that some of those things for Skylar would just go away, because I mean, he'll be 21 in a couple weeks and we were seeing so many of the same things. So I am overjoyed that a lot of that, the smiles have returned, the laughing has returned at exponential levels. And also some of the hitting that I complain about all the time has resolved itself. It's nowhere near as bad as it was even 6 months ago. So I want to kind of just take you back a little bit to some of the GI discoveries that we've made and the journey that we've had to all of his GI health and uncovering a bunch of the reasoning behind a lot of his behaviors and his aggression and just all of the things. So, I mean, for as long as I can remember, Skylar has always suffered from chronic constipation. I was always advised when he was a little baby to give him a tiny bit of cod liver oil or anti-gas drops. You guys have probably had the similar things recommended to you to alleviate the bloating and clear out the signs of the bowel backup. You know, but if those things helped, it was only for a couple of days, and then we were always back to abdominal stress. I didn't really think much of it at the time, and I just kind of chalked it up to me being a new mom and maybe overreacting some of the things and just his system. He was such a small, early baby, so I figured his system just kind of had to catch up to, you know, being a month early and all of that. So I didn't really think much of it. And then we were so focused on autism and everything being blamed on autism. I talk about that so much in several of my blogs about, you know, just constantly going to doctor's offices and autism being blamed for everything. Well, of course he has constipation. He's autistic. Of course he has, you know, aggression and some negative behaviors. He's autistic. But he needs to be on these anxiety medications because he has anxiety because he's autistic. ADHD because he's autistic. And on and on and on. So I was more focused on getting him to sit still, which he still really doesn't do a whole lot of. He's always just kind of been pacing and always on the move his entire life. So medications for that, or just trying to get him to stop pulling hair. And all of the focus was on getting him to be able to sit in a classroom or an ABA session or any other therapy session without just kind of acting like a crazy man and running around the whole place and like a tornado and destroying everything. His GI kind of was back of mind. I assumed that the constipation was just his system. Some people, oddly enough, or maybe not, don't have bowel movements every single day. And so I really just didn't think it was that odd. But then as he got older, and I just started noticing more things, like a lot of times when he would eat dinner, he did sit for dinner once we figured out that he likes booths, like restaurant booths. So we had a bench with a padding made to cover it that was comfortable, and he would slide in and sit on that. But keeping him in a chair was always very difficult. So he would sit at meals, but gosh, for the last couple years of his teen years, you know, 15 to 18, I noticed he was always standing up in between bites, almost like it was uncomfortable for him to be hunched over and his belly was just irritated. He had several choking episodes where, you know, we cut his food so small, but he would still just kind of get it stuck and he didn't know how to cough it up or burp or whatever it was. And so we would spend hours following him around with towels while he, you know, was coughing up mucus and trying to get up whatever it was. I mean, it's just a miserable experience for him, for us, for everybody. And so the GI issues, digestion, all of those things, the constipation really became more of a focus when he was about 13, because the aggression worsened. We started, like I said, seeing all of these weird things at meals. These choking episodes increased to almost weekly. We've had to call the ambulance to our house before because we couldn't get it up after several hours, and he just looked like he was starting to change shades of color in his face. And I mean, it was awful. So we went to feeding clinics. We went to every GI within 100-mile radius of the hospitals, everything. And we always were turned away, and always given the same recommendations to alternate doses of Miralax and Dulcolax and try enemas and suppositories. And they seemed more focused on the choking part and less focused on the constipation. We were again told all the time that that's just part of autism. All autistic people have GI disorders and they all have constipation, which is not true. You can't say all about anybody or any type of disease or disorder. Not everybody is the same. Clearly, we know this. So I was really frustrated. And I'm a label reader, always have been, and I do the research, and Miralax is like little bits of plastic and it's not good for you. It's not good to give every day. It's definitely not good to double the dose that's listed on the bottle to give. And it only worked when we did agree to do it because he was in so much pain for like a day. And then he would have a bowel movement, but it wasn't even a complete bowel movement because he was still constipated. So finally, when he was 15, typical autism parents who always share all the things, and I just love this community so much for that, and I try to give back as well, and I've given this physician's name out to countless people that have asked me how we finally got answers. But Dr. Arthur Krigsman, who's based in New York, another autism mom here in the town that I live in, we were talking one day at CrossFit, as a matter of fact, and she mentioned to me that her son was having a bunch of GI problems and she was describing them, and he was a lot younger than Skylar, but I go, oh my gosh, that is eerily similar to Skylar. And yes, they're both autistic, but just the GI part of it is not something that I've heard a lot of people describe the way that she was, which was so similar to ours. So I got the contact information for him and I reached out and they responded very quick. And we set up a Zoom call with him. He's in New York and we're not. And just his nodding, and I talk about this whole experience in my book, of him just relating and smiling at me. And I was almost like taken aback, like, does he think I'm crazy like every other doctor who's dismissed me about my company? And he was nodding because Skylar represented about 90% of the patients he sees. And what I loved so much about him, and he's a solo practitioner, is his practice is 100% focused on people on the spectrum. So he is a gastroenterologist and he only sees patients on the spectrum at any age. And I'm just like, where have you been all of our lives? So he told us he does procedures in Austin, Texas, and I think he does now in California as well. He has an arrangement with some hospitals there that are very understanding that our kids suffer from, you know, needle phobia and all kinds of things when they're going into a medical office or a hospital setting. And so their staff and their nurses and everyone was just so wonderful for us. So we flew to Austin. Skylar had his first ever endoscopy and colonoscopy, and the results were horrendous. But I was so glad that day to see those horrendous pictures and to hear from him. The situation with Skylar was pretty dire. At the time, he was diagnosed with ulcerative colitis, and then a follow-up scope another year later revealed Crohn's, which, and to my understanding, ulcerative colitis can branch into Crohn's. They're almost one in the same, but it's specific to have a diagnosis of one or the other based on the medication that you want to use, because some are indicated for one diagnosis and some medications are only indicated for the other. But that's neither here nor there. So we did all of the treatments and all of the steroids and all the rounds of everything for Skylar. And he did seem to get a little bit better, but the constipation just never seemed to get any better. And trial and error with several injectable medications did not go well for us. And it just was frustrating because now we knew the cause and we knew what the disorder was called and what was happening to him. And of course, as any parent would, I just wanted to fix it. I wanted to heal all the ulcers. I wanted to make sure that he wasn't in pain any longer. And of course, what would come from that, I hoped, is that reducing his pain and discomfort, that he would stop hitting so much, because it was an outward representation of how he felt inside. I totally understood that. He wasn't hitting us to be mean. He was just trying to express to us, I am in so much pain, people, and I can't verbally tell you where it hurts and what hurts and how to fix me. So I was desperate to fix him and make him feel better. So fast forward, you know, he is now 20, almost 21, and we've still been playing with medications and trying to figure things out. At our urging, Dr. Krigsman put Skylar on Linzess, which is a medication that my husband's company sold and we were familiar with. And I think Skylar was his first patient ever on it. And that helps bring water into the gut and helps you go to the bathroom more regularly. That worked fabulously. And then we kind of learned that it's not as much water as it is a motility issue with Skylar. So he was put on Motegrity, which is a motility medication, which helps things pass through your body once the water is in. So sorry, you guys probably didn't expect to get a medical lesson on here. But I say all of this because we do everything we're told to do within reason. You know, like I said before, I research everything and I'm pretty well versed in medicines and just the medical field in general. So I feel like I have a good handle on things, but there's just nothing more frustrating than seeing your child not really get much better. So again, just kind of scouring the internet and social media and things, I was so excited and a little bit optimistic, cautiously optimistic, when I found Josh Deck, who is a holistic nutritionist. And I had followed his pages for a while because as soon as Skylar got his diagnosis, like probably any parents, I went right to Facebook to see if there were Facebook groups for people with Crohn's and ulcerative colitis. And I reached out to several people and posted several questions because I'm doing all of this stuff as a kind of a third party. I don't know how Skylar feels. I'm just guessing by his behaviors, by his symptoms, all of that stuff. I wish I could feel it and take it from him, but I can't. So I'm just trying to assume certain foods that hurt him. I've reached out to my friends who have Crohn's and said, does this food bother you? What do I do? What do I give him to eat? Because I don't want to make it worse. And so when I found Josh and I messaged him and I said, this may be a new one for you, but I don't actually have Crohn's, but my son does, and he is nonverbal autistic. And can you help us? Can you help me figure out why he is still sick and clearly walking around uncomfortable in his own body all the time? And he said, you know what? Let's try it. Let's take a gamble and let's just see. I'm sure I can help him. So, one of the first things he ordered, and he talks about, he was on my podcast, February 22nd episode. So if you haven't listened to it, he's much more high science and gives much better explanations than I can about all of these things. So he's just phenomenal. I'm just so glad I found him. But he first ordered for us a GI map, which is sending in stool sample, just to kind of see what we're dealing with Skylar's digestion. And it showed high levels of fungus, high levels of inflammatory and autoimmune bacteria. And he also noted that Skylar was not digesting fats well. So it's no wonder why he's having so many problems with constipation and just not having proper digestion. And then, so he gave me a kind of an approved foods list to focus on for a while and just see if the diet alone would help clear up some of this. And also he put him on a bunch of supplements that were binding agents that would kind of adhere to the fungus and kind of start healing his body internally. And then recently we did the OAT test. It's an organic acids test, which is a urine sample, which I've been very transparent that Skylar is not toilet trained yet, power of yet. And so I had to wring out several of his pull-ups to get enough urine to send in. There's just nothing like a mother's love. I mean, I'll dig in pull-ups and send in stool. I'll wring them out for urine, whatever I have to do to get my kid feeling better. I will do it. So we actually got the results of the OAT test back. I didn't have them when Josh was on the podcast, so I got them after. And it showed high levels of mold, candida, clostridia, and poor detoxification and cellular health issues. So in essence, what Josh told me is it's everything he suspected. Skylar is just pretty much covered head to toe in mold, candida, and fungus. And all of that is to blame for none of the internal stuff really being cleared up to the degree we can see it, even though the Crohn's medications have helped with his inflammation. And that's what they're supposed to do. I mean, that's what they're supposed to do to treat the Crohn's diagnosis, but it doesn't treat everything else. And that's the frustrating part. So for the past 2.5 months, Skylar has been on a pretty strict diet of meat and vegetables and really nothing else, because any carb turns to sugar and all of those things feed the candida and they feed the fungus. And so they're all playing off of each other. And when I tell you, the minute we cut out the gluten-free pasta, because here I thought I was doing the right things for his Crohn's and his belly by not giving him wheat and not giving him gluten and not giving him dairy and minimizing the amount of cheese he had. I know that's dairy, but he never has drank milk. He doesn't eat yogurt, none of those things. And even the cheese I used to sprinkle on some of his food, I you know, thought that wasn't that big of a deal. So I pulled out all of this stuff, and he came back. Like, he's been smiling. I've posted videos of him going for walks with us. The hitting, while it's not completely gone, has lessened considerably. And he is just so happy and fun to be around again. He's visibly showing signs that his body is no longer uncomfortable. And his spelling, even, we went through a kind of a drought period, is what I call it, of, you know, 3 or 4 months there where he did not want to spell. He didn't want to do anything. He couldn't sit down in the chair, and he would smack the board, and he just wasn't interested. And I was so devastated because we have come so far. And I told his spelling to communicate practitioner that I was scared that he was going to regress. And she's like, well, first of all, don't worry about that, because all of his, you know, intelligence is there to stay. He's not going to regress because he hasn't been able to spell. But I bet he's getting more frustrated because he was communicating with you, and now his body won't allow him to do it. It's really fighting with him. So he's more frustrated. So of course the smacking increases and all of that. It's just a vicious cycle that we live through. And I'm sure you guys can relate to whatever it is. If it's just one thing after another, it just seems like is a trigger, and we fix one thing and then the other thing seems to go haywire. But his spelling has been incredible. He's like smiling during it and laughing and sitting for longer periods of time to do longer lessons. And it's just been so wonderful to finally see a little uptick in some positivity around here with him. And it just makes me so hopeful that we are on the right track and that we can heal his stomach and he can finally live without the fog that he is walking through. It's been shared with me at times that when they have this much mold and fungus and all the things going on in their body, it's almost like being intoxicated for us. If we have too much to drink and your mind is kind of foggy and you can't really make a clear sentence and or a clear thought, that's what it seems to be like for our loved ones who are suffering, who are nonverbal even, and can't express themselves and let us know how they're feeling. If they are covered in this many things that are harmful to them, it's just like walking around in a constant state of fog. And like I keep saying, I would hit too. I would be so frustrated that nobody was helping me that I would probably be far more aggressive than Skylar is. You know, I wanted to hop on and at least share a little bit of positivity with Skylar's GI, because I know in the last several months I had posted over the holidays, especially just how just broken I was and frustrated I was because he was just so miserable and I was at my wit's end. I didn't know what else to do. So I have so much hope now that I'm on the right track, and I highly encourage you guys, whatever the issue is, the topic is, just keep digging. We got told so many no's and we were dismissed by so many people that I was probably neurotic and I was just over exaggerating that my child was constipated. It's not that big of a deal. Well, it is a big deal. It's a very big deal. And if they were suffering from the feelings and the constipation that Skylar was suffering from, I'm sure they would want someone to think it was a big deal for them too. So I'm never going to apologize for being a fighter in offices and in anywhere to get my kid what he needs, because he can't speak for himself yet. So I'm going to be the voice for him. The other thing is, I wanted to kind of point out, I am finished with my second book. It's not necessarily autism related. It is in there, but it's more about the journey that I've had through parenting, from parenting Skylar and Kendall as well, and what I've learned about myself and what they have taught me, especially Skylar, with the amount of resiliency that kid shows on a daily basis. So I'm hopeful that that will be out at the end of the year. I'm so looking forward to publishing it and getting it out to everybody. And I'll be talking a little bit more about it and more details of it, and asking the subscribers on my subscriber page on Facebook for suggestions on the cover. And I would love if my subscribers would be early readers and give me some feedback before it's published to the masses. So stay tuned for all of that. I'm hopeful for a fall release of that book. And I'm slowly working on my third, which is all about our adulthood journey with Skylar thus far. And I'm hoping to share every single pearl and struggle and everything that we've gone through throughout this entry into the aging out process of the dreaded age of 22, where things seem to dry up and there's nowhere for our kids to go and to prosper and to enjoy life as they could when they were toddlers and teenagers. So I'm I'm starting to work on that one too, because our stories just need to be told, and the world outside of our autism bubble needs to understand what we go through on a daily basis, and what our kids, more importantly, what our kids go through when they become adults. They're just completely disregarded and just tossed aside, and it's not okay. So anywho, it was great to get on here and chat with y'all, and I will sign off for now. Coming up, I have a few episodes talking about the aging out process with some incredible moms, and I'm always looking for guests. So if you are interested in being on the podcast to share your family story about anything at all, GI related, not GI related, adulting, toddlering, all the things, I'd love to hear from you. So reach out to me either through my website, LoriHellman.com, or my email address, which is linked up on my website also.
I hope you enjoyed this episode of Living the Sky Life, and we'll tune in for the next episode coming soon. If you haven't already, please subscribe to the Living the Sky Life podcast within Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and Google Play, so you'll receive alerts when new episodes are released. Subscribing is the best way to ensure you don't miss a single episode. If you like what you hear, be sure to select the 5-star rating, provide feedback, and share Living the Sky Life with others. Thanks again for listening.